puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Now, some people collect stamps, others collect coins. Gordon Goldsborough collects bricks. Isn't that true, Gordon?
That is absolutely true, Nadia.
And that's all to do with this week's conversation. Gordon, remind us of the clue that you gave last week.
Right. I said that I specialize in collecting bricks in Manitoba. Of course, what would you expect me to do? And I said that this week I would talk about a project that the Manitoba Historical Society is doing to document Manitoba brickyards.
Tell me about your brick collection, first of all.
Well, you know, I'm fascinated by this industry because until the early 1930s, the manufacturing of bricks around Manitoba was a very important industry, and it's essentially gone today. So in the course of my travels, whenever I find bricks from a building that has come down, I save one. So, for example, there was a fire in the Exchange District several years ago. A building called the Albert Building was destroyed, one of the earliest buildings in Winnipeg, and it had been made with rather primitive sun-dried bricks that had been made in 1877. Well, the rubble was still smoldering, and I climbed in there to grab a battered, blackened old yellow brick just so I had one to demonstrate, you know, what early brick technology looked like. And then more recently, listeners may recall that a few weeks ago, in fact, a building in the Exchange District called the Scott Memorial Hall was demolished because it had suffered some significant structural problems. And I was there. I asked a demolition worker if he could salvage a brick for me for the collection. But, you know, one of the gems of my collection was given to me by a woman named Ina Bramadat. Her family were pioneers in the brickmaking industry here at a facility west of Rose Isle called the Leary Brickworks. And in fact, we've talked about this many years ago, and Ina salvaged some red-colored Leary bricks from a school in the Brooklands area of Winnipeg that was being demolished. So those are a few, and I've got many more that each of them has a nice story that goes along with them.
Why were bricks made in Manitoba?
Well, I think it's because we have an abundance of the primary ingredient that you need for making bricks, and that's clay. Well, clay or shale. Shale is essentially a rock that's composed of consolidated clay. And the idea is you take this clay, you crush it to a fine powder, you sieve it to get rid of the lumps. And sometimes you mix this with water to make sort of a sticky slurry. And you pour this material into a shape that's the shape of the brick that you want to make. You press it together under pressure. And this is what gives you something called a green brick. And the idea is after the green brick is dry, you heat it at temperatures of over about 900 degrees Celsius. And that's an essential part because if you don't do the firing or if you don't do it right, the bricks lack hardness and strength. So for example, at the Leary Brickworks, a Winnipeg contractor tried to restart the operation in the early 1960s. Unfortunately, he didn't know how to operate the kiln correctly, the one that produces the heat. And the result was that he produced numerous inferior bricks that just didn't hold up.
How long have bricks been made here in Manitoba?
The earliest bricks I'm aware of go back to the 1870s, ones like the one that I salvaged out of that building. During the fur trade, they did have some bricks here, but they were typically brought from England, you know, which meant, of course, they had to be carried over in the hull of a ship. They were expensive. They were therefore rare. You know, because you have to fire the bricks in a kiln, you had to have infrastructure. So the industry really began to flourish in the 1880s, and it carried into the early 20th century. In fact, the golden age of Manitoba brickmaking occurred to about 1910. In other words, just a short 10-year period. And what's interesting is that the brick production during this golden age just skyrocketed. Well, in fact, before that, it had been about 5 million bricks made a year. And during that golden age, it zoomed up to 85 million bricks a year.
How are you able to identify where a particular brick was made?
There's several clues to a brick's origin. The easiest one is that if the name of the maker is displayed in the brick's frog.
Hold on. What? What's a brick's frog?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a term that I guess is unique to the brick industry. I didn't know it until I started collecting bricks either. The frog is the name of the indentation that you have on either one or both sides of a brick. If you think about a brick, they usually have sort of a little indentation, and often in the bottom of the frog, you'll see a stamp. So Leary bricks, for example, say Leary in the frog. A few other examples, they might say BBCO or Allsip or HS. These are all names of prominent brick makers through the years. And so that's a very nice, easy clue. Other clues come from the color of the brick. And this is determined by the chemicals that are in the raw materials used to make it, or in fact, the conditions under which it was made, such as the temperature at which it was fired.
Are all the brick buildings around Winnipeg presumably made with Manitoba-made bricks?
Well, if they've been made about 100 years ago during that golden age, it's a very good chance that its bricks were made in Manitoba. So a notable brick building that I suspect a lot of our listeners don't realize is a brick building is the Manitoba Legislative Building. You know, sure, it has a cladding of stone, and that's what people tend to fixate on, but its core is solid bricks. You know, so about 15 years ago, there was a fascinating paper written by some geologists here in Manitoba, and they stated that its bricks came from just two sources. So it has mostly pale brown colored bricks that came from the Stevens Brickworks at Portisville Prairie, and it also has some red ones from Leary's. And here's an interesting statistic. The building contains about 10 million bricks.
What were some of the major brickworks in Manitoba?
Well, those are two of them, the Stevens at Portage and Leary's. A couple other ones, we have Snyder's, also at Portisville Prairie. We have Wardrop at Whitemouth and Allsup here in Winnipeg.
Is there a place where you can kind of learn more about Manitoba brick making?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Manitoba Historical Society have an area of our website called Manitoba Bricks and Blocks. And it's devoted to locally made bricks as well as to concrete blocks. We used information that was compiled by a local researcher by the name of Randy Rostecki. And it lists over 100 brickworks in about 47 towns around Manitoba, over 190 people associated with the brick industry. And it's really a growing thing. We continue to work on this collection and add information as we find it. So if anybody's interested in knowing, did their community have a brickworks, you can look at our page and it'll tell you if we have any records on it.
You mentioned the Leary Brickworks before. Are people able to visit it?
No. In fact, the site is now in an advanced stage of deterioration. So only visitors that are accompanied by the site owner are permitted, and only under special conditions. But if you are interested in finding out more about bricks, one way to do it is that there's a fellow named Shane Campbell at Argyle, Manitoba, just north of Winnipeg. He's developing a museum that will actually feature an exhibit on Manitoba brickmaking. The building is to be built at what's called the Settlers, Rails, and Trails Museum, and that building will tell the story of bricks and the brick history of Manitoba. Now, Shane already has over 100 specimens of Manitoba bricks, and you know, and someday my own personal collection is probably going to go to Shane's museum.
How many bricks do you have so far?
Oh, I would have to say conservatively at least 30 or 40. You know, I don't really know. They're in a stack in my garage, and they're labeled with where I found them. So I really don't know. It grows whenever I find a building, I collect a brick.
Are there any brickworks operating in Manitoba?
Well, the industry faltered at the onset of the First World War. And it was basically due because most of the labor went overseas to fight in the war. And unfortunately, it never recovered. But it did sort of go through the much of the 20th century. So the very last brickworks here in Manitoba was something called the Red River Brick and Tile Company, located at Lockport. It was a subsidiary of an Alberta company, and it opened in 1971. It used clay that was quarried at St. Rose de Lac and at Beausejour to make about 15 million bricks a year in three sizes, 12 shades, including two sizes of paving bricks. Unfortunately, it closed in 1990, and that was the last Manitoba brickworks.
Do we have a sense of why there are no brickworks left in Manitoba?
Well, you know, it comes down to the cost of production of bricks versus the price that you can sell them. And, you know, this is critical to the success of the brickworks, just as it is with any industry. So to be cost effective, a brickworks needs a minimum of human labor and a maximum of automated equipment, you know, unless they've got a source of cheap labor, maybe somewhere else in the world. So the result is that the bricks that we use here in Manitoba come from sources all around the world. And in fact, the only bricks that are made in Western Canada as a whole come from a single brickworks at Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Gordon, thank you for this. What's the clue for next week?
Next week, we're going to consider an inconspicuous little shack north of Portage la Prairie that was the home of a child who died far from home.
Well, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Gordon, appreciate your time. We'll see you next week.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.